The old larks are moverin', moverin', moverin'. Old larks are moverin', moverin' along. That ancient spiritual could have been the theme song of the United States in 1957. We were a moverin', to, fro, up, down, and often in concentric circles. We created a maze of contradictions. Black and white Americans danced a fancy and often dangerous do-si-do. In our steps forward, abrupt turns, sharp spins, and reverses, we became our own befuddlement. I had returned to California from a year-long European tour as premier dancer with Porgy and Bess. I worked months singing in West Coast and Hawaiian nightclubs and saved my money. I took my young son Guy and joined the Beatnik Brigade. To my mother's dismay and Guy's great pleasure, we moved across the Golden Gate Bridge and into a houseboat commune in Sausalito, where I went barefoot, wore jeans, and both of us wore rough-dried clothes. My commune mates, an ichthyologist, a musician, a wife, and an inventor, were white, and had they been political, which they were not, would have occupied a place between the far left and revolution. During our stay in Sausalito, my mother struggled with her maternal instincts. On her monthly visits, dressed in Stone Martin furs, diamonds, and spike heels, which constantly caught between the loose floorboards, she forced smiles and held her tongue. Her eyes, however, were frightened for her baby and her baby's baby. She left wads of money under my pillow or gave me checks as she kissed me goodbye. She could have relaxed had she remembered the biblical assurance, "The fruit does not fall far from the tree." In less than a year, I began to yearn for privacy, wall-to-wall carpets, and manicures. Guy was becoming rambunctious and young animal wild. I had to move on. I could go back to singing and make enough money to support myself and my son. I had to trust life, since I was young enough to believe that life loved the person who dared to live it. I packed our bags, said goodbye, and got on the road. Laurel Canyon was the official residential area of Hollywood, just 10 minutes from Schwab's drugstore and 15 minutes from the Sunset Strip. Its most notable feature was its sensuality. Red-roofed, Moorish-style houses nestled seductively among madrone trees. The odor of eucalyptus was layered in the moist air. The few black people who lived in Laurel Canyon, including Billy Eckstein, Billy Daniels, and Herb Jeffries, were rich, famous, and light-skinned enough to pass, at least for Portuguese. I, on the other hand, was a little-known nightclub singer who was said to have more determination than talent. I wanted desperately to live in the glamorous surroundings. When I answered a for-rent ad, the landlord told me the house had been taken that very morning. I asked Atara and Joe Morheim, a sympathetic white couple, to try to rent the house for me. They succeeded in doing so. On moving day, the Morheims, Frederick Wilkie Wilkerson, my friend and voice coach, Guy, and I appeared on the steps of a modest, overpriced two-bedroom bungalow. The landlord shook hands with Joe, welcomed him, then looked over Joe's shoulder and recognized me. Shock and revulsion made him recoil. He snatched his hand away from Joe. "You bastard, I know what you're doing. I ought to sue you." Joe, who always seemed casual to the point of being totally disinterested, surprised me with his emotional response. "You fascist, you'd better not mention suing anybody. This lady here should sue you. If she wants to, I'll testify in court for her. Now get the hell out of the way so we can move in." The landlord brushed past us, throwing his anger into the perfumed air. "I should have known, you dirty Jew, you bastard, you." We laughed nervously and carried my furniture into the house. Weeks later, I had painted the small house a sparkling white, enrolled Guy into the local school, received only a few threatening telephone calls,
and bought myself a handsome, dated automobile.